Staten and Manhattan, you are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
It's the Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show.
Welcome to another edition of the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And this powerful show brings you conversations with today's stars and tomorrow's legends. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Come on.
It's the Benny Randall Show. 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 Show.
I love the Benny Randall. I love the Benny Randall. I love the Benny Randall Show. Yeah. I love the Benny Randall. I love the Benny Randall. I love the Benny Randall Show.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator, a.k.a. Your Business Advisor. And it is my pleasure that you allow me into your hearts and your homes. And like always, we have, if you want to learn more about me, you can go to BennyRandall.com. That's BennyRandall.com. Or if you're a Fortune 500 person or celebrity, you can go to BRJElite.com. All right? It's not a game, it's a lifestyle. And like always, we have another amazing show for you today. His name is A.B. Bracewell. For over the past 12 years, A.B. Bracewell has dedicated his life to helping families, couples, and singles with building healthy relationships through his work as a family-based therapist, school-based clinician, psychotherapist, and clinic supervisor in the mental health field. Through his personal experience with relationships, observing and experiencing a tumultuous marriage between his parents, and growing up through the ups and downs of being a single, falling in and out of love, developing and maintaining relationships with family and friends, AB has developed a unique perspective on what it is to take and build a healthy relationship. AB believes that if we improve in four keys of life, healing from the past, knowing oneself, developing a mutually mindset, and spiritual growth, we will be prepared for a healthy relationship. His mission in life is to help individuals develop and apply the skills needed to break the efforts and toxic relationships while learning to foster productive and healthy relationships with self and others. This man is who we needed. Because you know June is Men's Mental Health Month. A lot of people ain't talk about it, so we talking about it right over here on the Benny Randall Show. And he has an amazing new book out, which fits right into what we're talking about and where we need to go. And it's called The Sexual Miseducation of Black Men in America. Wow, we got a lot in store for you. We're going to get it started. Mr. Bracewell, thank you for being on the Benny Randall Show. How are you, brother?
Thank you for having me, Mr. Randall. I'm doing great. It's my pleasure to be here. How are you doing today?
Oh, man, you know I'm blessed, highly favored, walking in the light, one of the chosen ones. I'm just glad to be here. Somebody holler in the back of the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All right.
All right, let's talk about, before we get deep into this powerful book that you have, let the people know a little bit about you. How did you even get in this industry of wanting to help people in the business of what you're doing?
You know what? It started when I was young. I believe I was called from when I was really young. I was a middle child in my family. And as you just read, I always felt like I was stuck in the middle of conflict, whether it was between my mom and my dad, siblings, other family members. I've always felt like I was the one that was trying to mend relationships, trying to pull us together, trying to get someone to apologize, to forgive each other. So I think from very young, maybe being a middle child, playing that position, being able to navigate with my older brother and then still play with my younger sister and bring those two worlds together, I've always felt like I was put on this earth to be a mediator, a middleman, someone that brings relationships and people together. And I've just taken that position. I've taken that seed. I guess I was planting in me when I was young, and I just, you know, continue to water and then continue to give it some sunlight. And I've taken it to now where I am a therapist. I actually been in the field for 20 years. I've been a therapist for 12 years now. And my specialty, my passion is still helping people mend relationships, repair ruptures in their families, and bring couples together.
Ooh, you just dropped the nigger in here. Yeah, you should really. He said he is the I'm giving you a new name. You are the mediator of love. That's what he said. I grew up as a mediator. You was always in the middle, man. That is powerful. Started. That's when you know that you have a gift, when it just happens so naturally. So I'm assuming that everybody would come to you because they feel that they could get a fair resolution to whatever they was going through if you played a part in it. Is that kind of how it happened? You were that individual that people just like, you know what? I can't solve it. You can't solve it. But we know who can solve it. A.B. Bracewell. Talk to me about that, brother.
Yeah, I've always had this unbiased stance. I've always been a good listener, for one, and would let people speak their piece. I'll hear people out before I make a decision or make a judgment or, you know, just make a call on stuff. So I feel that people always felt that they was heard if they would explain their issues to me, that I always listen with an active ear. And I think I've always come to conclusion with fairness. I think I just learned how to be unbiased, not to take sides, not to lean more to one person than the other. And I think that's what really has helped in my field, helping my profession, and what made people gravitate to me when they seem to be dealing with some type of conflict with another person. Well, even if it's conflict with themselves, they feel comfortable enough to come to me because they know I'm going to listen to them and I'm going to give them some good advice, or at least point them in the right direction. You know, that's something that's not going to hurt them. It's not self gratifying for myself. It's just strictly to help them. So I think that's what it is. And, you know, every day I try to develop that inside myself.
Oh, very powerful. Let me drop down. Now, people who usually are very good at what they do, they came from a lifelong of pain. Tell us about some of the little relationships where you learn your most valuable lessons that set you up to being here. Because if there is no pain, there is no gain. This is what I absolutely know, Mr. Bracewell. If there is no pain, there is no gain. Tell us about some of those tumultuous relationships that you've been in and what they taught you and how you use those today to help other people get to the other side.
Yeah, the original relationship that probably brought me pain, I should say did bring me pain, is watching the relationship between my mom and dad. My mom and dad was married for years, but throughout all those years they were married, I've never really witnessed them in any happy moments.
Wow.
There was a lot of arguments, a lot of fussing, a lot of fighting, a lot of accusations, a lot of unfaithfulness. And because of that, my relationship with my dad was not as close as I wanted it to be. Because I realized in order for him, or his idea, I should say, to avoid the argument, the fussing and fighting with my mom, what he did is stay out the house. So when he stayed out the house, he also stayed away from me and my siblings. So that left a desire, a want in my heart to have a closer relationship with him. So, you know, him trying to avoid that conflict, he ended up avoiding us. And to this day, even though, you know, I've healed from a lot of that pain, it's still a desire. It's still a want. I'm a grown man now, but I still wish that it could have been better in the past. And aside from that original relationship that I grew up observing and watching, like I've been in my own toxic relationships. I've been in my own unhealthy relationships with women.
We all have, brother. Preach on it. Preach on it. Don't be holding it back up in here. Preach on it.
I've been led by my flesh, I should say, in a lot of situations where I made some bad decisions, hooked up with the wrong woman, ended up being deceived, ended up deceiving others, ended up hurting people, ended up bringing a lot of pain, cheating, bringing all types of things back home. Once you do stuff like that, you know, the relationship is dead, or you're killing a relationship. So I've made some poor decisions in my younger years as well when it comes to relationships, when it comes to women. And, you know, I came to the point where I just really had to mature. I had to sit back and do some self-exploratory time and just check myself, look at the man in the mirror and say, what are you doing with your life?
I'm about to put you on the hot seat, brother. Tell me about what you don't say her name now, okay? Mm-hmm. We don't need to say her name. Tell me about the one that did you the dirtiest, and you learned from that lesson, but it hurt the most. I want to make you a little vulnerable here in front of. Remember, it's only me, you, and about 3 million people, so it's not a lot of people here right now. So go ahead and just, I want you to just unload right here. You ain't got to say her name, though, but the one that did, what did she do to you that made you feel, oh, my goodness, I got to change next time?
Mm-hmm. You're getting deep.
That's so, what we're here for, man. We want the meat, brother. Yeah. We want this. Let's go.
But, you know, when you say that, the thing that really comes to mind is who I did the dirtiest.
Oh, snap. Did y'all hear that, lady? Hold on. I got pulling that horn in. I ain't even Jamaican. Go ahead, brother. Let me hear that. He done switched it up, ladies and gentlemen. He said, no. Who I did the dirtiest. Ooh, this boy about to let go. Let y'all in the background, can y'all give us some hand claps, please? All right, let me stop acting a fool up in here.
Come on with it.
Go ahead, brother.
And I say who I did the dirtiest because, just to be a little bit transparent about me, like, I have always had such a wall up. I've been so defensive and been such on a lookout mm-hmm. for being victimized or being taken advantage of mm-hmm. that I never truly opened myself up to someone to hurt me in that way. Wow. But I have hurt others in that way. Just the first one that come to mind is when I was younger. I was in my 20s. I was with a young lady. It was about a 4.5-year relationship. Great girl. Probably can't ask for anything more mm-hmm. than a young lady in a relationship. But, you know, I was out there being a dog. You know, I was out there sowing my wild oats, running around.
Let me get this straight for my audience. You had a good girl at home, but you was mm-hmm. out here at the kennel just looking around to see who else was in the kennel.
Yeah, wow, you
heard it first right here on the Benny Randall Show. We be breaking stuff right here. AB Bracewell dropped that right here on the Benny Randall Show. Go ahead, brother, complete the story.
Yeah, so me and her was together for a long time, about 4.5 years. That was long to me at that time in my life. And like I said, I'm running around, meet this random young lady, you know, nothing really, don't really know her. But of course, you know, I led by my lust and we had sex. And, you know, I transmitted something that I couldn't, something that, of course, I got rid of it with a pill. So I'm glad, I thank God that it was nothing serious or more serious than that. It was serious, more serious than that. But what happened is that I came home and I transmitted it to my lady.
Wow.
And I lost probably one of the best women I ever had in my life. And the that hurt more than probably anybody else could hurt me. Seeing how I hurt somebody that I loved and somebody that loved me in that way, that really changed me. That really changed me. Because I not only put my life in jeopardy, I put her life in jeopardy. I put her possibility of probably having kids in the future in jeopardy. You know, I just tore down her self-esteem. She started questioning who she was as a person and how she could be deceived. And that tore me apart just to see how much I could hurt somebody. And I learned a major lesson from that situation, which really changed me and started to put me on the straight and narrow road. Like, I never wanted to hurt another woman in my life like that again. So I think that that probably was the most impactful situation, which put me on a journey of trying to become a better man.
You know, I really appreciate that transparency, man, because that's hard to, you know, get on radio with this many people and say something like that with your thoughts. And I think people really appreciate it, because a lot of times, man, we do our dirt and then we sit around here and act like, you know, we ain't never did no dirt, and we be the first ones to do it. You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate you sharing with that, because I think a lot of times people don't realize how quickly that can happen. You know what I mean? How quickly something like that can occur just by you out there sowing your oats, or thank you sowing your oats and spreading yourself around, man. So I absolutely appreciate that, brother. You took me for a loop, though. See, I'm always the one wanting to take people in the loops, you know what I mean? Like, because I always want to just put people in the hot seat, and you just switched the whole damn hot seat up, boy. I was like, what, hold on. I didn't know it was coming that way right there, man. So, you know, that was kind of, I love that, brother. I appreciate that. So that
they
changed.
They say the truth will set them free.
Ooh, boy, if it don't set you free, it's going to set something on. So, you know what I mean? Yeah. But so I appreciate that. You know what I mean? Because, you know, a lot of times I know when I started this podcast, my whole goal was to do something that you can bring people on and they can add value to all the people that they are, they speak to. And I love when people become transparent in the moment, because that's what helps people. You know, it's through all the pain that you will start to see the game. I mean, the gain, and then that game will create all the fame and everything else will come behind it. So I appreciate that, man. So that puts you on a thing of kind of putting you in the position now of understanding you was a bad boy and you wanted to change. So is that how you start to go into this thing of actually putting other people first now, because you was a bad boy and you know how people hurt you? I mean, know how you hurt people. And now you want to help people? Talk about that.
Yeah, like you said it exactly. Like I've seen like the trail of broken hearts that I've left. You know, I've talked to people that I've hurt, traumatized in the past, and you know, I've made some bad decisions in my life when it came to relationships. When it just came to women, because to tell you the truth, I've been so detached for so many years that I wouldn't even really entertain many relationships. I'll have relations, but to commit and put in that sacrifice and that dedication to one person, I've avoided that with everything.
Why is that, though? Were you now protecting yourself, or you felt like if you couldn't trust yourself, you couldn't trust nobody else?
You just said it. I didn't think I could trust myself. After that situation I just explained, I didn't think I was capable or could trust myself with being with one woman. So in order to not hurt anybody like I hurt that young lady, I decided, okay, well, I'll mess around with you. I'll play with you. But I'm not going to commit to you. So I can't really be, you know, held guilty for anything that happens. You know, I'm telling you that I don't want to be in a relationship. So if you decide to entertain me and put up with me, you know, it's on you. It's on you. So
the understanding was like, I'm going to tell you, I'm not committing to anything, but if you want to go ahead and rock with this, then I'm down if you down, basically, is what you're saying.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that was it. That was basically it.
Wow. And you know what's so funny, though? You know how many people would actually take you up on that? Because, you know, a lot of times people say, you know, I wish men would tell the truth, and I wish men would do this, et cetera, et cetera. And then when men tell them the truth, they'd be like, I don't know if I really want that. But then they will go towards that bad boy, that bad attitude, that's in your face attitude, versus the mm-hmm. nice guy over there who's telling you, I can't give you all of that, but I can be faithful. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that happens? And speaking on this, you know, we're going to dive into this book, The Sexual Miseducation of Black Men. That this is incredible. And I like that you put yourself out here so that people can mm-hmm. learn, my brother. So I want to dive all into this right here. So do you think there's more women that will go for that bad boy like you were versus going for the good guy?
Yeah, because I think people want what they want. And no matter how you tell them that you're going to react, no matter what you tell them, how you tell them you're going to treat them, if they want you, they'll be willing to put up with a lot of foolishness. I often say that people don't ignore red flags, or people ignore red flags because they want to preserve this fantasy they created in their mind. And people create fantasies in their mind about others, the person that they want. So I can tell you, listen, I'm not going to commit. I'm not going to be true to you. I'm not going to be just with you. I'm going to have some people on the side. But I believe if someone really wants another person, if they're that desperate for another person, they'll put up with that stuff. And where I came in wrong is that I knew that I had that power over certain people. So I knew that I could tell them, listen, I'm not going to be with you. I'm not going to be committed to you, but they'll still put up with it. And in some sense, that's a manipulation on my side. You know, that's using my power for evil on my end. Because I know if I have sex with you a certain way, if I spend time with you for a certain amount of time, if I invest some certain type of energy in you, that eventually your emotions are going to grow and you're going to become attached to me. But I have the ability to stay detached from you. Mm. So that was something that I often did, and I ran away from commitment and relationships for a very long time.
Man, A.B. Bricewell, this is getting good, brother. I always wanted to ask this question. How is it that men can have sex with a woman and have zero attachments, but women can have sex with a man and be attached? I'm not saying all, because now some generations are changing, but for the most part, after sex, women tend to get attached, versus men could have sex with a woman and not be attached and still go back to their thing or whatever. Why is that? You know, explain that.
I think we're just taught differently, and we're conditioned differently as men and women when it comes to sex. When it comes to men, we're taught, for the most part, not every man, but I think a great majority of us are taught that sex is just a way to build your social status. Sex is a way to satisfy your horniness. Sex is a way to measure your manhood. Sex is a way just to, you know, just to say, hey, I had sex with this one, and that one. And it's to put like pins on your jacket, another notch in your belt. Mm-hmm. So we're never taught about that intimacy, that love. Like the topic of love and intimacy is not attached to the topic of sex for men, for the most part. Like we're not taught about that. We're not taught that our hearts are supposed to be connected to our genitals. And I think it's different for women, traditionally speaking. I think women are taught that sex is something precious and you should give it to someone that you deem as special. So when they have sex, it's an emotional attachment that we just don't have as men, or we're not conditioned to have as men. I'm not saying that we don't have it, but I think we've been taught to cut that off. We've been taught to view sex in a way that women have not been taught to view sex. So I think that's where it starts, and it goes from the music we listen to, the movies that we watch, our boys on the street, our peers. It goes all the way back to slavery, to tell you the truth. It goes all the way back to slavery. How as black men in slavery, you know, you was a commodity because you can have a lot of slave babies. The amount of women you can get pregnant made you more valuable. The male slaves were more valuable due to the size of their genitals, because they believed if you had huge genitals, that meant you could produce a lot of babies for the slave master. So I think there's a correlation that goes all the way back to when we first stepped foot on this land to now, that it just has never gone away.
Yo, brother, you just dropped some mad stuff on here. Ladies and gentlemen, we're halfway through, but I know you don't want this to end. But we'll be right back after this short break with some more. A.B. Bracewell, this brother is dropping some stuff. I ain't even think the interview was going to go this way, but I'm getting chills up my spine in here, man. I got so many other questions, you know, that I need to make it happen. We'll be right back after this short break.
Yeah. It's not a game, it's a lifestyle. We global. BashaniRadio.com, New York City. Always talking about everything.
We're taking over the radio.
You want prizes? We've got free prizes. You want cash? We've got lots of cash. Simply download Bashani Radio app, allow push notifications, and listen for your chance to win loads of cash. Please don't tell our CEO it's his money we're giving away. We won't tell if you won't tell. Bashani Radio app. Download it for free in the App Store.
Hold up. I just heard that commercial. My staff is giving away my money. Are we gonna have to have a meeting on Monday? Y'all didn't tell me y'all was giving away my money. I thought y'all was giving away somebody else's money. Y'all didn't tell me y'all giving away my money. All righty then. Yeah, y'all better call Amble. Whatever in the background there, so it's all good. Ladies and gentlemen, you're back with the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. your business advisor, a.k.a. the motivator, a.k.a. Billionaire Benny. It's not a game, it's a lifestyle. We're speaking to Mr. A.B. Bracewell, the author of The Sexual Miseducation of Black Men. And man, let me tell you something. If you miss any part of this interview, you need to go back to the beginning, because this brother's dropping some stuff and he's dropping some nuggets and he's transparent. Why you don't get this book, I don't even understand. Where could, you know, those are listening, where could they get a copy of this book at, Mr. Bracewell?
Now, you can go right to my website, abbracewell.com. Just go on the shop page and it's right there. abbracewell.com.
There it is. A.B. Bracewell. That's A-B-B-R-A-C-E-W-E-L-L. Just like that, it's simple, and grab your copy. This brother is dropping some real heat right here. We live from New York City, and he just made it much hotter up here. It was already hot outside. I'm about to turn the AC up in the studio a little bit more, because he is dropping it. And we're talking about the mindset and the sexual miseducation of black men and just men and in relationships all general. Why that title, Mr. Bracewell? Why the sexual miseducation of black men and not all men? Drop it on us.
A lot of the people that come to me for help, for advice, for direction are black women. And they often are struggling with issues in their relationships, conflicts, dishonesty, the cheating, the lies, the ghosting. So many different relationship issues they come to me with, and it usually always revolves around their man or a man's sexuality, how he manages sexuality, whether it's somebody that they're dating or somebody they're married to or in a committed relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So that made me to really start to examine why we act the way we act when it comes to sex, why we think the way we think when it comes to sex, and the impact that it has on the women in our lives, in the relationships that we try to get involved with. So I interviewed over 100 men, married, some single, some on a dating scene, and I asked them various questions about their sexuality, the way they manage their sexuality, their appetite for sex, how it affects the women in their lives, how it has affected women in their lives in the past, the trouble that has gotten them into, and what led them to deal with their sex and their sexuality in this way. So, and it was all black men, because that's the community I serve right now. That's the women that come to me for help. They're black women seeking help for in their relationships with their men. So I felt it was my duty, my obligation to help them better understand what's going on with their men, better understand how we was conditioned and taught about sex and how it influences the way we function in relationships and function with them.
Wow, that's deep, then. So in other words, you know, talking about the sexual miseducation of black men, but at the same time, most of the women that are coming to you is talking about complaining about having problems with not understanding their men. So that's a beautiful thing that you can do. And so if I was to ask you three things, Mr. Bracewell, that women tend to get wrong when it comes to their man and understanding how men operate in that sexual game, because remember, all sexuality starts in the mind before it becomes an action. What would that be? What would those three things be?
One thing would definitely be they don't understand how important sex has always been for us, to us, even since as a young boy. Like, we've been taught that we measure our manhood by sex. We've been taught that we build our identity on the amount of women we sleep with. So if you grew up with that type of teaching, those type of behaviors being modeled for you, like, it becomes a part of us.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the sad thing about it is that a lot of the lessons we learn has been unhealthy and it's been toxic. And a lot of women will internalize our behaviors and blame themselves for some of the things that go on in their relationship, but they don't take out the time to understand how their man was educated about sex and the things we've been taught and the influences we had, the teachers we had about sex and how it impacts them and why it's impacting them. So that will be one thing. Just they don't, since they have had such a different teaching about sex than we have, they are ignorant to what we go through and what their men are going through.
All right. And number two.
Number two would definitely be our emotions. The way we communicate and express our emotions is different than them. And we have also been taught to cover up a lot of those feelings of hurt, pain, sadness, depression with sex. So we tend to use sex as a coping strategy. We use sex as therapy almost. And we use sex as a way to escape from the hurt and the pain and the reality of life. So a lot of the times when we get the labels of you being a dog, you being a pig, or you being, you know, some negative word. All the dirty animals. We get all of it. But they never realize that he's hurt. That's pain. And that's how he's communicating. That's how it's being manifested right now. So that's something that ladies don't care to look into. You know, I understand if they feel like the victim and they get defensive, but if they look a little bit deeper, they'll see that, you know, this man is using sex as a coping strategy.
So that means women, you know, this might be the sexual miseducation of men, but women really need to grab this book. Women really need to connect with you if they want to understand what's going on with a man. Is that what I'm getting from this?
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. If you read this book, you will have a better understanding of what's going on in your relationship or just what's going on with men in general. And that it can heal relationships and it can help you be prepared or get prepared for a relationship if you understand us a little bit better.
Very, very powerful, man. All right. Did we get to number three? Because I think you gave two tips. What was the third one?
Yep. The third one would definitely be we as men, we are not always taught to understand what's on the other side of our behaviors. We are not always taught to understand the pain and the hurt that we put women through with our behaviors. Like I was saying, we think that we're just sowing our wild oats. We think that we're just having fun. We think there's no real consequences to what we're doing. Not realizing that there's somebody on the other side of these behaviors that's experiencing it way different than we are. Could be experiencing way different than we are. So that's another thing that, you know, women can learn from, that they process sex way different than we do. And, you know, I'm not saying that we process it in the right way. And I'm not saying it's
no, that was deep thing. Though. Let's dive in there one.
Mm-hmm.
How is it different when women process sex versus how we process sex? Like, in layman terms, now I know you one of those smart guys and y'all use a lot of big words, but I got some people on here that may not be noted on big words. So let's just do it in layman terms, me being one of them, brother. So I'm just going to go with that, right? Okay. I ain't no shame in my game. But in layman terms, how does women process sex versus how men process sex?
For women, I think it's just a deeper connection. It's an emotional connection. It's a mental connection. For us, it's just physical for the most part. We taught for it just to be physical. Like, we're just satisfying our horniness. We're just getting our rocks off, to be honest with you. We're not taught to look that deep into sex. It's not no big emotional connection for the most part. So, I mean, it's my goal to try to change that. To change that view and to change that perspective, but
when does it change for men? Is it only change when they found that woman that gives them that everything that make them feel like the king they want to be? You know, they want to feel like. When does that moment change for men?
That's different for every man. Oh, the one thing I do know that a man has to be intentional in that change. Like, it just doesn't happen. Even if you find the best woman in the world, the finest woman in the world, the woman that gives you the best sex in the world, It just doesn't happen like that. A man has to be intentional with making that change, with trying to figure out how can I approach sex in a different way, different than what I've been taught. So that's different for every guy. Some guys never
What makes a man want to be intentional? Maybe that should be the better question then. What puts a man in the mindset that he wants to be intentional about being one-on-one with this lady for the rest of life? Because lately, Mr. Bracewell, I've been seeing people in relationships for 30, 40, 50 years, and they're getting divorced. My point, if you don't got up to the 30 and 40, 50 years, you might as well just ride it out. But people are seeing that, okay, I've been here for 30, 40 years, and now I feel like I want to leave. Can we talk about that for a second after we ask, you know, based on that question, like, why are people just getting up out of these long-term relationships? Is it part of the men not being intentional? Is it part of that women are no longer intentional? Or, you know, that answer those two questions.
I think what... To ask that the first question again, I want to make sure that I process it well before I was given a response.
What makes a man want to be intentional about doing the right thing and being with that one woman?
I think it's definitely a level of maturity that a man has to hit at a certain stage in life. And I don't know what that stage is, but it's a level of maturity that most of us try to reach. Whether it's like we was talking earlier, like you experienced some type of pain, some type of loss, or you did something that's so egregious that you learned from the mistakes and now you figured out, okay, now I have to make this change. Whatever brings on that maturity in your life, it is what it is. But I think it has to be like some event, some occurrence, something that sparks that desire to become more mature. It's not an age thing. It's more of a stage thing. Like we all hit that desire to become that mature man for different reasons.
That's very interesting. So it is, and I want to agree with that, because it was when I became more mature as a man that all of that other stuff was no longer fun. You know, wanting to have two and three women at a time, that was no longer fun. And I don't know if it because I became more focused on what I'm doing in my career, or whatever, but I just knew that there was some beauty in just being with that one woman that you can call your homie, lover, friend, best buddy, you know, and then best friend. Because if your lady can't be your best friend, then you're going to look outside of her for somebody that makes you feel like that. So I will agree with, I think the maturity level of it should be. So let me ask you this $1 million question, because I know a lot of men always want to ask this question on the hot seat again. Can men and women truly be platonic friends? Like, no one likes the other one, but truly be without one of them liking each other, even if they never divulge it? Can men, you know, somebody that you attract, because men don't hang out with nobody that they don't like or attracted mm-hmm. to in mm-hmm. some fashion or form. So, but, you know, sometimes women will put you in the friend zone, and then you got to play the friend zone hoping that you can, you know, she have a weak night, and then the friend becomes mm-hmm. a little bit more, you know what I'm saying? But can men and women strictly be platonic friends without any sexual tension? I want to hear what you got to say on this, bro.
I hear this question so much, and we've had so many different discussions about this, men and women being platonic friends. And my opinion is that it's possible. I think it is possible for men and women to be platonic friends, but it all depends on the people's intentions. You can't be no fake friends. We're going to be friends and now I'm waiting for a window to open and I'm going to make my move. A man or a woman just have to have the mindset that this person is off limits. This is strictly platonic. There's nothing sexual, nothing romantic going on. And I think it's possible.
Let me break it down a little deeper for you. So you trying to tell me your fine ass friend that ain't checking for you, but she fine as want to be, and you know you like her, but because she doesn't like you and she's put you in the friend zone, you can be platonic friends with her? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I'm not saying that.
Because you're not, Mr. Bracewell, you are not hanging out with ugly people that you don't like. I'm sorry. That's just maybe I'm saying it wrong, or I should be calling people ugly. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. that. But we're going to hang around people that move us, groove us, and fit into our dynamics of who we are. So you're saying that pretty girl that won't give you the time of day but wants to hang out with you, y'all can be platonic friends? Or am I reading this wrong?
But then that means my intentions are not pure. Like, if I'm attracted to her, then no, we could definitely not be platonic friends. But if I always wanted something more with her and she's rejecting me, no, we can't be platonic friends, because in my mind, in my heart, I'm just waiting for that opportunity, for that moment of weakness. But that's why I say going in, you have to have pure intentions, and I think it's possible. But if I know that there's somebody I want, and I'm just waiting for that window to open, looking for that clink in their metal in the chain, then nah, we never gonna be really platonic friends, because I'm always gonna be waiting for my opportunity.
Mm-hmm. So how many of your boys have female platonic friends?
Well, I'm gonna tell you like this. I'll tell you like this, because
go ahead. Like, what you gonna like, tell me like this? Go ahead, Mr. Bracewell.
We talk about this sexual miseducation stuff. Me and the guys that I grew up with, we was not brought up like that. Like, we really didn't even. It was no such thing as platonic friends. So if I'm talking about my friends, if we only talked to women because we were sexually attracted to them.
Right.
If we wasn't attracted to them, we had no reason to talk to them.
Ooh, but, boom. I like, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, he has told the truth. We need some hand claps. That's right, brother. Yeah. Yeah. Woo. I'm sorry. I just had to, you know, we had to drop that.
No. So I mean, but that's true. So what you're saying is true. Now, as when we hit this certain level of maturity and we get a little bit older, and you know, we learn some things, then you can probably have platonic female friends or platonic male friends. But when you're younger, and you're just looking at a woman for a physical attraction, and you know, nothing's platonic at that point. But it takes some maturity. It takes some growth for a man to get there.
So Mr. Let me tell you, Mr. Bracewell, have you ever personally had a friend that was a female that you was unattracted to?
To be honest, this has just started happening in my life in the past few years, where I'm able to have platonic friends, be a platonic friend with women. So as of now, yes.
Okay, because now you have changed, basically, and you have a different intention, is what you're saying.
Exactly. I have a different intentions, different thoughts. I look at people as people and not just sexual objects anymore. Now, wow. You talked to me when I was in my 20s or my teens. There ain't no way that I just had women as platonic friends. My boys was my friends, and that was it. But, I grow and mature, that has changed.
So basically what I'm getting from you, it's the maturity of a man which makes the difference whether he going to be a player or if he's going to be, you know, a committed, dedicated man. It's they have to get to that mental stability. Is that's what I'm getting from this?
Yes, that's exactly what you're getting from this, is that maturity, is that growth, you know. And to be honest with me, it wasn't just growing in maturity. It's also a spiritual aspect with me as well. So there's definitely a spiritual aspect that has impact how I move, how I view life, how I treat other people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big part that I think a lot of men never get in touch with. We don't touch on that spirituality part and look at a higher being and see and look at other people as, hey, that's someone's child, that someone else loves them, someone else created them. So it's that whole spirituality part that I think made the biggest change in me, which brought me to a level of maturity.
I can respect that. I absolutely can respect that. That's a good point. Man, this has been such a great show. We got about 10 minutes left. So what do you want people to get from the sexual miseducation of black men? Because you was very specific about your title. What do you want people to walk away with when they read this book?
I want people to understand men better. That's the number one thing. I want people to understand men better, but I also want us as men to understand ourselves better. I want us to figure out real ways to measure our manhood. And like I said before, not continue to measure it by the amount of women we sleep with, how well we perform in a bedroom, I want men to become better in their relationships, to not, so we can be able to overcome what I think is one of the biggest barriers to us being successful in life and relationships, and that's that temptation of just meaningless casual sex. I think that comes in the way of healthy relationships and a man being successful in life. I also just want us to really look in the mirror. Look in the mirror of your relationship, and the mirror of your manhood. And you know, there's going to be parts of this book that you can identify with. There's going to be parts that you can't relate to. And I understand that, because everything that's in the book doesn't apply to every man. And I would never say that it would. Everything in this book probably doesn't apply to every woman's man. But I can guarantee that it's something in this book that's going to help you understand your man better than what you are understanding right now.
That's very, very powerful, man. And you know what I like about this interview, how transparent you was, you know, sharing what you shared at the end. And if you didn't know, just go back and listen, man, because he dropped something on it and I didn't even know that he was going with it. But I think that's what we need to get people's attention, you know, and how important it is. Let's, you know, the sexual miseducation of black men. Do you think that black men in particular are more misunderstood when it comes to the sexual nature than other cultures?
Yeah, I think we are misunderstood, and I think we have been conditioned and taught differently than men in other cultures. If I could just go back in history, you know, just real quickly, I don't think there's any ethnicity, any race, any creed that has the type of sexual relationship tied to a land like we do as black men. I don't think that it has been taught to any man or treated in any other group of men like we have, with such intensity for such a long duration of time at such a high rate of frequency. The lessons that we've learned that don't only go back to history, but it's continued to go on now with our music. You know, the lyrics that we listen to, the type of shows that are created just for us teaches those same lessons. The lessons that are passed down in our community, I think is different. It's just different. We have too many negative influences when it comes to the way we manage our sexuality that I believe other cultures just didn't have to deal with. From when they came into this land to when we have. So I think that's a huge difference in the way we was taught, in the way we conditioned, in the way we've been treated, in the way that carries on now.
That's very, very powerful, brother. Oh, man, I didn't expect this interview to be, you know, as amazing as it is right now, man. But you really dropped some nuggets on it. If people want to learn more about you, how could they reach out to you?
You can reach me on my social media, on Instagram, which is A.B. Bracewell. You can reach me on Facebook as well, under A.B. Bracewell. And you can go to my website under A.B. Bracewell. You can send me a message. You can send me an email. Contact me. I respond to DM. So please, it's easy to reach me if you want to contact me. A.B. Bracewell on anything.
Wow. See how easy and simple that is? A.B. Bracewell. That's what it is. A.B. Bracewell. If you didn't hear it the first time, A.B. Bracewell, the sexual miseducation of black men. And honestly, the way you dropped it, I believe it's like all men, to be honest, because you really dropped some nuggets up in here. And what is the number one question that women ask you about their men?
Why can't he be honest? Why can't he be honest? Why can't he be faithful? Why can't he commit? I was saying those are the top three that I get. It's about faithfulness, honesty, and commitment. That seems to be a huge challenge for women in their relationships. And I talk about all of that in my book.
Mm-hmm. So we got about 5 minutes. So I want you to give me a little nugget. Just give me a little insight on each one of those. Just a thing. Don't give them too much because they need to read the book. Is there an audio version of this too?
Yes, there is.
Oh, wow.
It's available on Audible.
Exactly. All right, cool. That, because some people want to sit back and listen. I know me, I'm an auditory man, so I like some people to just talk to me. Let me hear it, how it's going down. But that's amazing. So if you can, before we get out of here, the top three things that you said, give them a little insight on each one of them before we get out of here. And you got about less than 3 minutes to do that, so to just make it nice and simple. But just give them enough way, and then they can go to the book. They have to buy the book, download the book, order the book, so they can get it. And if people want to book you, where would they go? They go to abbracewell.com?
Yes, you can go to abbracewell.com, or you can even instant message me on social media. I'll get back to you.
There it is. The boy is available, and he's giving you access. So let's end it with, in your final words, those little top three things that women ask you, and just give me a little small synopsis of each one.
Yeah.
Go, the floor is yours, brother.
With the honesty, it's something I kind of touched on a little bit before, but just to go a little bit deeper with it, I think with men, we often think that if we tell a woman the truth with our words, that it doesn't matter what happened with her emotions, no matter what we do with our actions. Uh-huh. But what I've learned is that our words and our actions has to be in harmony in order for it to be honesty. If our words are saying one story, but our actions are saying something different, we're sending mixed messages, and we're living in untruth. When it comes to commitment, a lot of the same things. It's the things that we've been taught about relationships, women and sex, which keeps us fear of committing to one woman. So it's really the fear that I go into, the fear of attachment, things that we've learned and what we went through that breaks attachment and stops us from being intimate in our lives and in our relationships. And the faithfulness, that's a huge part of it. Just being faithful, learning how to be honest with one woman, devoted to one woman. We've been taught so many lessons about how the more women you have, the more the man you are, the more status you have. So we take that into our relationships. We take that into our marriages. Just not being able to devote ourselves to one good woman. But I go so much more deeper into it in the book. So just to briefly touch on it, those are the three biggest questions and issues that people come to me when they come to me with questions about their men.
Mm-hmm. All right, so here's what I want y'all to do, ladies and gentlemen. We always do this. We never tell the guests we're going to do this, but they're usually down. We show you how we appreciate. We always like to give you something free. So, you know, there is a printed version of this book, correct, Mr. A.B. Bracewell?
Yep, yes, it is.
Okay, cool. So what you're going to do, you're going to go to his Instagram at right now. It's A.B. Bracewell, okay? Just like it sounds, B-R-A-C-E-W-E-L-L, Bracewell. And if not, you just do A.B. Bracewell. One of them going to show up. And we want you to, you know, follow him, you know, like his thing. And what we're going to do, we're going to take a couple of people out of there, and we're going to send you a copy of that. He's going to send it to us, and we will send it to you. So get to liking and go over there and see what he got to say, you know what I mean, and follow him, because this brother really dropped it today, man. You know, sometimes you look at an interview, you'd be like, okay, well, it's going to be what type of interview this is going to be, et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, this brother just came out shining today, okay? So make sure you go over there, support them, buy the book, download the book, you know, on audible.com, listen to the stream it, you know what I mean, and et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, whatever you do, you know, reach out to them. But in order for you to be in this contest, you know, we're going to give you like 24 hours, you know. I see how many people are following him right now. So everybody above that within 24 hours. And then we over here, Benny Randall's show, we will We're going to pick a couple people, and we're going to give you a copy of the book. Is that okay with you, Mr. Bracewell?
That's perfectly fine. I'm with it.
All right. See there? We ain't even tell him. He ain't even say, oh, what happened? What happened? You know what I mean? But that's what it is, how we're going down. We appreciate you here being in the Benny Randall living room. We thought we was going to do this for 30 minutes. This is one full hour. We got to have this brother back, man. There's some other questions I wanted to ask, but I was so involved in everything that was going on. I was like, well, this is one of those interviews. It's got to be part one, part two. You know what I mean? A.B. Bracewell, make sure you check him out. The brother is thebomb.com. You hear me what I'm saying? That's abbracewell.com or a.bbracewell.com. On Instagram. Go follow this man, like, comment, whatever, and we're going to pick a few people out. You got 24 hours. I see how many people he has up here right now that's following. You got 24 hours to make it happen, or you just lose out, brother. It's not a game. It's a lifestyle. Your final words, Mr. A.B. Bracewell.
I'll leave it with a simple quote. In order to be in a healthy relationship, you have to be a healthy individual. So that goes for men, and that goes for women as well. So, you know, we just get ourselves healthy so that we can be healthy for the relationship we're looking for and the ones that we're in right now.
Mm.
And I appreciate you for having me on the show, brother.
Hey, I appreciate you, brother, for bringing it like you never brought it before, man, and I appreciate that. So make sure you go check him out, A.B. Bracewell. I'm Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator, a.k.a. Billionaire Benny, a.k.a. your business advisor. Learn more about me over at BennyRandall.com, and make sure you follow this show and all our shows on BashaniRadio.com or wherever you get your podcasts, or download our app at Bashani Radio in the Apple Store or in the Android Store. Yeah, we service the Android people too. That's what we do over here, okay? We got love for everybody, even Android people. You know what I mean? So you can go into the Android Store and just download the Bashani Radio app, and you can have all this show and all the other shows of these magnificent and amazing people. Like always, I love you, and you can't do a damn thing about it. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't stop. Keep it locked. Keep it we locked. Global, baby. BashaniRadio.com. You better ask somebody. Kaboom.
That is so awesome. Yeah.